When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Broadcasting live from Florida's capital city, this is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show on a Libations Friday. It's great to be with you. I'm Jeff. That is Tom. Director Matthew is around somewhere. And you guys, you know the drill right now, right? Loosey-goosey, all that stuff. Also, from the hizzy, had to. More construction there at the studio, or more soundproof padding and the like. Nonetheless, we should be all good to go, I think, by Monday. But we were not going to go a day, especially not a Libations Friday, without content. Gotta have it. So here we are. I will say this, also a reminder, today is the happy hour show. If you're in town and you want to swing by, we'll be at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill at 5:30. Myself and Corey Clark. My dad's rolling into town. You know, he's always chatting it up with everybody at the bar. And then my mom will be there too this time around, Tom. So this is we got both parties.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, she's going to be on the show today, the magic of recording, right? She's going to be on the show today, and then she'll be in town. She may be swinging into the CP. It's not going to be a long stay afterwards. We're all going out as a family, but yeah, I think she's going to make her debut at the CP for this event. She's been to the Corner Pocket before.
Wow, that I've never seen her at the Corner Pocket before, so even if she's been there, this would be the first time I'd see her in person. I remember her making a trip or two to AJ's way back
in the day. Yeah, good old AJ's. Every time that comes up, I miss that time. That was those were good.
Those were good times. The Friday shows are always fun. They've taken on different meanings over the years, but it's just it's always cool to get that sense. You see the spark in folks' eyes, whether it's for a rivalry game or a game that's lower down on the pecking order like this one against Louisiana. I just love seeing when Noles come to Tallahassee and they're looking around and they're saying, oh my goodness, look at how much Florida State stuff all these people are wearing, wherever they come from around the country or sometimes around the globe. That's just not the case. And that kind of excitement always for a resident of the city is pretty cool to see, because it just makes you feel all, it's like taking the kids, I'm sure, when you did, to a theme park back in the
day. Yeah.
Look at the magic in their eyes. It's pretty cool.
It is cool. Hey, by the way, so Lee Sterling will join us a little later on today, but I went through last night, Tom. You and I played golf yesterday at the beautiful Capital City Country Club. It was a lot of fun, and nice cool weather. It was a good time. Those last three holes, I was like, all right now, all right. See, yeah, I hear you.
And those greens, with the grain, those greens must have been rolling at 12 plus. They had to have been. Yeah,
that was fun. It was fun. But when I got home after I went to dinner, so I sat down, kind of went through, you know, I got to say something about the game. Louisiana's defense isn't terrible. When you watch them play, they've got some guys. They've got a corner that's going to play in the league. They have a linebacker that reads it well. And I'll tell you something else. I do think offensively they've struggled this year. And somebody asked us yesterday about the team or day before, whatever it was. And I didn't have a real good answer, because I know they're 5-5 in the Sun Belt. But the Sun Belt's better. They do have a lot of bowl-eligible teams. And I know the reason Louisiana struggled is basically they lost a three-year starter at quarterback. And they had four guys that left with Napier that were their best players, you know, that took it on down the road to Florida. A couple of them who started Florida. So they had some good players. But the other problem they've had is the offensive line hasn't gelled real well. So I do think it's a good matchup for Florida State's defense against their offense. But watch that kid Jefferson at wide receiver. He's the only one that jumps off the screen when you pull up Louisiana. I believe his name is Michael Jefferson. If you watch him play, Tom, I went and looked after I got done looking at the highlights of them. That is a kid that will get drafted. He's good. He's like legit good. 6'3" and can move, can really go. So I do think for fans wondering, what should I be looking for on Saturday? And we'll talk more about it in the pregame show. It's not really necessarily for a Live Nation's Friday. But I do think that's a player to look at. That's a really good player. And, you know, listen, if you only got one guy, they have a – you'll like this. You'll like this, Tom. They have a running back, Chris Smith. and he's a plus player. He's a plus player. But their line hasn't given him much of a chance. So I just go through and look back and just – I had – last night I was watching the football game and I just pulled it up on my laptop and started to peruse and jotted a few notes down for today just to make mention of it. But the Jefferson kid's really good. So I do want to see what happens with our secondary against him because he's made plays against a lot of people. I mean, even when they've been outmatched, he makes plays. He's got size and he's got speed and he's not afraid to play both in the middle of the field. He'll block. He goes down. You know, he can hit you on the go. He does a lot of things. So that's just something to look at when we play in this game. I think they're going to be feisty. That's the other thing. Their coach mentioned yesterday that, you know, they're trying to get to a bowl. They want to get to a bowl and they have this game and one more. I think their last game is against Texas State. So, frankly, they ought to be able to beat that team and get bowl eligible, but they're going to play feisty. Yeah. And so it is interesting to know. We'll see. We'll see. Cause they do defend. They do defend.
Well, we'll see if they, I mean, look, you don't want to have no test going into Florida. You want to be tested. Like if I'm going to show up, put my pads on and put my helmet on, I need to have something. You know, Duquesne was great because that's almost like a preseason ramp up game, is a glorified jamboree before you're heading off to LSU and playing in New Orleans against the Tigers. And that served its purpose. But, you know, with 3 weeks of blowouts to the tune of 122 to whatever, 20-something, over the last 3 weeks, if you're tested at least for a quarter or a half, this is not the worst thing in the world. But still, to me, the goal would remain for Florida State. And Mike's been very, very good at pushing this button. Go out there and dominate. Go out there and control the game. And they had the maturity to do it 3 weeks in a row. Georgia Tech, they kind of did it sleepwalking through the first quarter. Miami, they went down there, and you knew by the middle of the second quarter that, oh, yeah, this one is over. Same thing for Syracuse, which is impressive because it's following the crescendo of rivalry game. But my point is that also happened. You've got five blowouts already this year for Florida State. Duquesne, Boston College, and then the last three games they played. That's a lot. That's a lot of them. That's a trend. So Coach Norvell successfully summons that from his players. Can he do it again tomorrow? Because if he does, and if it looks as academic as these last three games have, I would be the quick-to-punch guy when it's time to go to your reserves. I would be the quick-to-punch guy because the short week. This is just so critical with the short week. Every rep and snap that you can give to a younger player saves you for Friday night next week against Florida.
It's interesting. It's a good point you make about the five blowouts, and they have also conversely, they have no blowout losses. Yeah. So their three losses are all nip and tuck with opportunities to win the game, even in some cases where the bulk of the play was, you know, a day that wasn't your best. They've been in it. They've found a way to fight back. They've had an opportunity. So that is yet another sign of progress. You know, we talk about all the telltale signs of progress and buy-in and how much better is the program now than it was a year ago or 2 years ago. And you are right. That is another great indicator. The five blowout wins and no blowout losses is another great indicator. So you think about the vast majority of the games, Florida State is either in it with a chance to win it against teams that are ranked higher or were favored. against Florida State in two of those games. And when given an opportunity to face a team that doesn't stack up or isn't playing well in the moment or is dealing with injuries or all three, Florida State has blown those teams out. And that is a good sign.
Yeah, I dated all the way back to October of last season, 2021. You know, you eke out a win over Syracuse. It wasn't impressive in the moment. But, hey, it's better than going 0-5 to start the campaign. Then it's a 10-point win on the road at North Carolina, but I'm going to classify that as a blowout because the way North Carolina played in the second half was we don't have a shot, and Florida State took it to North Carolina. You blow out UMass. It's really close with Clemson. It's only a 10-point spread because of that abomination of a final play. The NC State game, I'll give you that one. That one was kind of decided, but, I mean, you had injuries. It was a problem of reserves. Close game Miami, close game Boston College, both wins. And then Florida last year was a close loss, and that was kind of a cluster, too, that day. But since October of last year, you haven't been summarily dismissed if you've been anything close to healthy on a 12-6 run. They're 12-6 in their last 18 games. And now, if you take care of business tomorrow, half of your schedule will have been decided victories. At minimum, you talk about growth. I don't care what the competition level is. The ACC has been a sorry conference for years, and we were unable to finish over 500 in it any of those seasons. So it's just, I reflect constantly on how far they've come, but there is a job to finish here. And make sure that you do earn it and that you do finish it, because these next eight quarters of football are not insignificant. In fact, even tomorrow's four quarters are pretty significant because they could have ramifications for the development of the program long term if you do what you're supposed to do. And it's going to
I think so. I think that for Florida State, it is, again, yet another opportunity to show signs of maturity by playing well in these two games and getting the wins. Obviously, that's first and foremost. But, you know, do you add to your successes and continue to grow? As Mike talks about it all the time, you know, he said we've been dominant, but we can play better. We can get better. That's the task, is getting these guys to reach. You know, you're always striving for perfection, and everybody knows you're not going to achieve it. But, you know, as the old saying goes, you run into excellence along the way. But when you know there's another level because confidence grows and because you're executing your principles better, because you've had some success, so now with that success, you have opportunities to add layers to what you're doing. You know, Mike has added to the offense this year. We've seen more wrinkles in the offense this year. We're still not in the totality of the playbook. We talked a lot about the playbook a year ago and how little of it we were using. And that's because they couldn't. They couldn't execute, and they weren't prepared to be able to add more things to it. They had a hard enough time with what was on their plate. Now they've added more things, and if you show that you can handle it, and you go and execute it and achieve as they have, then you continue to infuse more wrinkles to this offense. And that's exciting because we remember the guy at Memphis that was the talk of the town in college football when it came to watch Memphis's offense. Watch how hard they play, but look how much fun they have. I mean, everybody, that was the type of team that when Florida State looked at their stagnant offense, fans would be like, well, look at that guy at Memphis. Look at all the plays they run. How the hell can he do it over there? Well, then he came here. And then he came here, and we were like, well, where is that? Where is all that fun stuff I saw at Memphis? Well, it takes time, man. You got to build it up. You got to teach it. You got to have the talent to execute it. You got to be healthy enough and deep enough to handle it. But they have found ways to continue to build on it. And I'm excited. I every week we have the same conversation on a Friday. And that is, these weeks take so long because I get so excited to watch Florida State play. And this is genuine. I mean this. It's been a long time. It's the number one indicator for me that things have changed so much for the better. I wake up on Monday pissed that I got to wait till Saturday. I mean, that is rare. I haven't felt that way in years. I did not feel that way at the end of Jimbo's time, even though the last two or three years of Jimbo's time, I didn't like most of what I was seeing. I thought we were fading. I thought the 10-3 season was an indicator we were in trouble. I didn't like a lot of what I was witnessing. And I didn't wake up on Monday and Tuesday and think, all right, Saturday's almost here. We're getting there. No, I didn't. I went, okay, we'll see. I'm watching you, man. I'm a little worried. That's how I was towards the end. This is the first year in forever that I legitimately like, man, let's get to Saturday. This team is fun. They're doing cool stuff. I was standing around the house on Saturday night when we played Syracuse, Tom, after you and I did the pregame show, and I was like, All right, here we go. Poured a cocktail. My wife's like, you're like a kid. I'm like, this team is going to stomp Syracuse. Do you understand, babe? We're going to stomp Syracuse. And she's like, okay. But, you know, that is an indicator, again, of the enthusiasm around this program. And I'm usually fairly objective when it comes to this team. I mean, yes, I'm biased. I'm a Knoll, but I'm pretty objective about their strengths and their weaknesses. Sometimes I'm slow to come around on their strengths because I've been burned, because we all have. And I just want to see it consistently play out. But now they have me. They've got me hook, line, and sinker. And I love the way they play. They seek to inflict damage. They're physical. They're fast. They're fun. They play for each other. They're enthusiastic. They don't do dumb things. We're not forever going, why in the hell would you know, like, you're not seeing dumb personal fouls or late hits. You're not seeing it. Like, they're smart. They play smart. They play fast. It's a fun thing to have to repeat like a broken record every Friday on Libations Friday. But it's just because I'm giddy about the game tomorrow.
Well, one other thing that they are that's really refreshing is they're accountable from the top down. They're accountable. And that there's multiple ways that manifests. Some of it is that they play to the end of a game no matter what the result is going to be. And you're like, man, they just don't give up. It's unbelievable. And that's in a loss that you say that. But then in wins, they're finishing the job. But to me, the most likable part is that the head man, if he makes a mistake, owns it straight up. Like, there's no hemming and hawing or, criticizing the question that was asked, you know, rather than answering the premise of the question, which is usually, and the most times it's fair, that Mike Norvell just owns it. The halftime interview against Syracuse last week. But the number one thing to me where I said, okay, it was the antithesis of the way I felt. I talked about it in Miami week. Remember when I brought up how in the little documentary series they did, the state-sponsored media series they did in the offseason, it's Mike and Jordan Travis in the film room, and he's like, I'll be honest here. When we're at the 50s and the two teams are on the field, I'm thinking this is awesome. And for me, I was saying, no, man. No. This is not how we want to operate. And then the Florida situation happened after that, pregame, and that got them off kilter from the kickoff down in Gainesville last season. That Coach Norvell said, in a press conference this year, that we had problems, maturity issues before some games last year. He didn't reference what, but we all know which games we're talking about, and that they challenged the team to clean that up as they went down to Miami, and they did. That, to me, is a sign of self-awareness on the level that I don't know that Jimbo ever had. I don't know that he ever had the self-awareness.
Certainly not that he would admit. Yeah, certainly not that he would admit.
Well, that's part of self-awareness, is that you're comfortable enough to admit your shortcomings to the world.
Without question. Yeah.
And he's been open about these things. So why do I bring all that up? For tomorrow's purposes, the last time they kicked off at Doak at noon, it was a hazy day, a whatever kind of feeling for Georgia Tech, and they started sloppy. I guarantee that an emphasis this week in the meeting rooms and an emphasis tomorrow in his pregame speech would be, we're not starting slow, guys. I don't care that it's a little chilly or a little sleepy. I don't give a damn. We're coming out guns a-blazing in this first quarter. So the thing I'm looking for tomorrow is they really have shown a propensity to right the wrongs and nip it in the bud. Here's a chance again. Same situation, noon, relaxed feeling, Doak. It's not going to be an inspired pregame atmosphere. Can you overcome all those things and put down an opponent who is coming here to play their Super Bowl? That would be great.
It would be huge, and it'll be interesting because, again, the other side of the ball – that is Louisiana's strength. If you go look at their losses, they're 21-16, 23-17, 20. You're not seeing any 52-10s. You're not seeing that. They don't give up a lot of big plays. I went and looked at all those numbers that we like to look at to see where Florida State ranks on what, you know, you start with yards per play and then you go from there. You look at success rate and all those kind of efficiency numbers that we look at. Win the games in the balance and you get rid of all that other stuff. And they're efficient on defense. They play well. You've got to earn it. You got to earn it. Now you can, teams have beaten them. Obviously, you know, we've seen it, but they make you earn it. And so, you know, when you have a good linebacker play and you've got a good corner, you can kind of hang in there. And they have those two guys. We got so much more on this. We got a lot of other things too. Lee Sterling, my mother, some other side notes, some of the observations I made really quickly, both from last night in football, which, by the way, the Packers are done. That's good to say out loud. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I don't know if my mom picked the Titans or not. I did. I thought the Titans would go in there and bully Green Bay, and I picked it in my pool. So, I listen.
Yeah.
We'll see.
If it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, slam dunk, you win that game. But she doesn't like Aaron Rodgers anymore, so she might have picked the Titans.
She might have. We'll find that out, yeah. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Live Nation's Friday rolling on. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and WarChant TV. Always fortunate enough to have my good friend and guest on Fridays, Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, joins us right now. Hey, Lee, how are you, brother? Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Jeff. Love this time of year. I actually was proactive, so you'll like this. I ended up hanging lights the last two nights when I came home from work.
Yeah.
And I just got a text from my wife. I have a special dinner for you tonight.
Whoa, look at you, buddy. It's going to be a good Friday night, huh?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good for you. Perfectly
Richard Simmons
done.
Kind of night, yep.
Yeah, there you go. A little celebratory. Well, you know, yeah. He's a Knoll, so throw right. that out there. Hey, so I haven't started on my lights, and I'm not going to let my wife hear this segment because she'll be like, see? Yeah, I haven't started yet. You ready, my friend? I've got the games right
yep.
here.
Let's do
and
it.
And we'll start with Florida and Vanderbilt, as both Florida State and Florida kind of have tune-up games before the rivalry game. I will tell you this, Lee. Both Florida State fans and Florida fans, I think, are excited for the first time in years. That game next week is going to be really good, but only if they take care of business this week. One would assume Florida should win. Do they cover the 14.5?
I think there's a good chance. You know, Richardson has not thrown an interception in four games, and you know, when he doesn't protect the ball, they're in trouble. They
right.
went for 374 yards last week against South Carolina. As we know, that's their best method of traveling. When they get the running game going, it opens up the passing game for them. If they have long down and distance situations, that is not where they want to be. So they should have success against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt was playing, I thought, the wrong quarterback all along. They end up getting the win last week because their starter gets hurt and their backup, more of a dual threat quarterback, was able to come in and have a big second half here. I like Florida. I think they win and cover here 38-14.
Clemson taking on Miami, and this is a big number at 19.5, but obviously we've seen Miami up and down. It was good to see them bounce back and look better. What is this Miami team right now?
Well, I think Brown is maybe the future. I think there's a good chance that Tyler Van Dyke, well, number one, probably not playing this game. Still think he's injured, and why take a chance? Not like you're really going anywhere. And then also you got the fact that Brown gives you that dual threat capability. The only problem is they're only really running a consistent 15 or 20 plays. So you got to be a little more diversified against this Clemson defense, or Brise, he's going to be in the backfield all day long. So that's a problem. Brown looked good last week, but still his down the field passing probably not good enough to stay in a game with Clemson here. So I like Clemson here. I think they win this game something like 40-17.
By the way, quick question for you, Lee. I am curious. Does with everything that's happened this year, with the up and down and the offense taking a step back, when we all thought it would be better with Van Dyke, you know, coming into the season, is he going to transfer?
I think there's a chance he does. Yeah, I think there is a chance. I think there's a better chance that Garcia transfers. So
yeah, you should want that.
Right, you know. People make maybe too much out of the system. It's a power running spread, mm-hmm. similar to what Michigan ran. But the offensive line has just not been very good. And the play calling hasn't been spectacular either. It was better last week, but it's easy to call plays when you're facing Georgia Tech.
That's for sure.
They had a bunch of busted coverages to Georgia Tech. They're not real talented. But I expect Miami to have turnover, maybe 20, 25 guys.
Oh, wow.
I mean, did you see the statement that Mario made last week? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're not happy with your kids playing time,
come pick them up.
Yeah. And there's going to be a bunch of guys that get, I think they're going to be proactive. Usually you get the call. My head coach from high school explained it to me one time. I was deciding between three schools and the only Division I offer I had was Wake Forest. And he asked me, where do you want to go? I said, Wake Forest. He starts shaking his head. No. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you're not going to last, sir. You're not good enough. So what do you mean? He goes, you don't know about after the first year, you get the call to come in and visit with a coach. What they do is they tell you, you know, we like you, you're a hard worker, but really don't really fit into our plans going forward. I can make some calls, you know, to some other colleges or junior colleges for you. So that's when I decided going to an FCS school is probably better suited for my talents.
So plenty of those guys on the Miami roster right now getting that conversation.
Or no. It happens the first day or two after the season.
Yeah.
But I think most of these kids are going to be out in front of it with the portal now. And what was surprising was they had two last week and they won. Usually when you win, there's some good feeling. Guys like, hey, I'll wait with my decision for another week. Two guys like, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not a bad thing to wholesale flip your roster when you're in a rebuild. You got to. Georgia should dispatch of Kentucky, who is in the wrong end or on the wrong end of an embarrassing loss to a Vanderbilt team that hadn't won an SEC game in 3 years. It's 22.5, though. Is that number too big, or do you like it?
So I think a couple of weeks ago, this line would have been like 15.5, 16.5. Obviously, because Kentucky lost to Vanderbilt. And then also Georgia just took care of Tennessee and also Mississippi State. The line has ballooned. And Kentucky's a much better team at home. They're 16-6 against the spread last 22 games. I expect Will Levis or also Chris Rodriguez to have a big game here. So Levis has just not shown up, and the play calling hasn't been great either. But at home, might see a decent game from them. They played them pretty tough last year. They lost 30-13, and that was probably one of the toughest Georgia defenses of all time. And this defense is good, but not quite at that level. So I just think Kentucky relaxed. They got to 6 wins the week before, and they thought, oh, Vanderbilt, and then we'll get through that game, and then we'll gear up for our last 2 games, you know, here this game, and then also against their last game against one of their big rivals. So I think Kentucky keeps it close, 31-13. I'll take the 22.5.
Perfect. We've got Florida State giving a ton of points against Louisiana. That number really matters here, Lee, I think. Yeah. I've seen 24.5, but I've seen 23.5.
Right.
I might lay 23.5. I'm not laying 24.5. Right. What do you got here?
So I'm similar to you. I don't play bad numbers. No. So, I mean, there's a lot of times 5 minutes before the game, finally that number – comes into play. A lot of times 5-10 minutes before games, most important time in betting. A lot of people don't know that. But just think that I know Lafayette pretty well. I do actually a show in Lafayette on their station. And, you know, DeSormo's the coach. They pretty much kept most of the coaching staff there. A bunch of guys stayed there. And they just have not had a quarterback. They've rotated between two different guys, injuries and also lack of production. They don't have They've had some really good running backs over the last decade, don't have that feature back or a guy at receiver that can make big plays here. So Florida State's making those big plays. They've scored at least 38 points or more in each of the last 3 games here. And I think they'll slow down this Lafayette team here that, like I said, lacks that big strike capability. When they have to go 12, 14, 15 plays, probably not happening against this Florida State defense. I like Florida State here, 45-13.
And in the NFL, please explain to me, because I see this sucker line and I think, what in the world? Yeah. They're begging you to take Minnesota. They're begging you. They all week long. It started at 3. I was like, what are they doing? They're taking us for suckers, Lee.
Yeah.
Why is Dallas favored over Minnesota?
So Dallas plays better on the road. People think, oh, a home game. There's a bunch of teams that play better on the road. I don't know what it is, whether they have a great team movie they watch Remember the Titans or something like that, or it's a ritual. Sometimes teams bond on the road. You just show up for a home game. But Dallas is 10-3 against the spread last 13 times they've been on the road. In fact, the last six times that they've won by 6 points or more on the road. This Minnesota team ranks 29th in yards allowed. So when was the last time you saw an 8-1 team giving up so many yards? They faced a bunch of backup quarterbacks. Minnesota should be without, it looks like, they're starting left offensive tackle. Could spell trouble against the Dallas defense, 35 sacks already on the season. And then they could be down two of their top three cornerbacks. So I expect Dallas to have success throwing the football. So don't fall for the trap. Don't take Minnesota. Dallas, 30-24.
Game of the week, Lee, Atlanta, Chicago. How can folks get it as always?
Just call 800-400-9741. Give them the game for free. Everyone's alive in the NFC South. So you want to find out if Atlanta, do they help out their chances of winning a division? You're not going to get in as a wild card, but a division winner. Someone's going to win it, maybe by default. 800-400-9741. We have our college football 45-unit underdog play of the year. I'm going to text it to you right now.
I like
it. As soon as we get off. And found a game. And I'm not talking about a 1, 2, or 3-point underdog. I'm talking about an underdog of more than a touchdown. I think wins the game outright. So we're 3-1 on these 45, 50-unit plays. Only loss was that Air Force heartbreaker by a half a point. So looking to raise that record to 4-1 and over the years, 54-19 is our record on these 40-50-unit plays. So it's included in the Baker's Dozen. 13 games, including that college football underdog play of the year. Just $97, ParamountSports.com.
Love the Baker's Dozen, baby. Love it. Lee, be good, brother. Have a great weekend. Good to see you.
Too. See you, Jeff.
Take care. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, does a great job, joins us every week, and a lot of fun. And I'll be getting this text. I'll be getting this text in just a minute. I'm waiting here. Let's see the beauty of this while we record. There's my Bucks thing, and that's still badass it is. Here we go. Waiting. Come on, Lee. Send me that text. I am curious about it. I won't be able to tell you what it is on the air today, but I can post it on Twitter before the game. He actually encourages me to do that. By the way, that number on the Dallas stat of the road games, thanks, Dallas. Yeah, the one time you haven't done it in like two effing years was last week against the Packers, up 28-14 in the fourth quarter, when your boy needs you to be the final piece of a four-team NFL moneyline parlay, you bastards. Golly, gambling's cruel, huh? Two touchdown lead to that slappy group of bums in Green Bay, who once again reverted back to being sorry as hell again last night.
They did.
Oh, that drives me nuts.
They did revert. Yeah. Derrick Henry is not to be trifled with on Thursday night football. That's a working theory I have. And he didn't run for 200 last night, but he throws for a touchdown, and he's a huge factor. Even catching the football, I think he had 45 yards in receiving yards.
I've got a theory on that too, Tom, by the way. I think you are 100% right. Now, we'd have to go back and delve into the numbers. Who wants to tackle that guy on a short week?
Right.
I mean, seriously, are you sticking your head in there to deal with that? That's too much.
a couple of games, too, on Thursday nights that I recall. One was actually the night we saw St. Paul and the Broken Bones, and that was at Janus in St. Petersburg.
Good night.
They played Jacksonville that night, and I think he went for two bills. Yeah, yeah.
There were a lot of people who forgot about seeing St. Paul and the Broken Bones that night as well in that Janus crowd.
The dude in front of us at about 2 o'clock on the dial was standing somehow like Christopher Walken in the Fat Boy Slim video.
Yeah.
Like it's just like in a permanent limbo position. I don't even know. Yeah. He had to have the core strength of I don't even know what.
It was like, even though he was on even ground, that he lived his life on a BOSU. He just spent a lot of time trying to keep it together.
Like, I'm sure that Christy appreciated that because she could do planks for 5 minutes at a time. She's like, all right, look at him.
Yeah, you this guy here's got some of it.
He can plank for 5 minutes.
My wife can still plank for a long time. It's crazy. Like, I even when I was at my strongest with those things, she would just laugh at me. I could do like 3 minutes back in the day, and I thought I was doing something. Dude, planks are no joke. She's sitting up there for 5 minutes just looking at me. I'm like, good God.
That's where if you do the float, I mean, that's for later in the show, but if you do the float enough at the Tallulah and you train your brain to meditate, that's what you got to do when you're planking. You just got to go someplace.
It's hard to meditate when your brain's telling you how much pain you're in.
Yeah, you got to get on that level that the monk who set himself ablaze, you know? You got to you're like, oh, this lactic acid is ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's a brutal thing. All right, our thanks to Lee Sterling. His picks real quick. He took Florida to cover over Vanderbilt. Clemson to cover over Miami, 19.5. He doesn't think much of the Canes. Georgia not to cover the 22.5 against Kentucky. He took FSU to cover against Louisiana. At 24.5, I would not take that. At 23.5, I might. That's it, bad numbers.
What's interesting is it's clear, and we've got a couple minutes left just monitoring the clock. It sounds like he won't even touch it, though. He's got to play Florida State for us. Like,
for the market.
For the market. He always has a take on the game, but he says he doesn't play bad numbers. So it sounds like that he'd be fishing for a 23.5 at kickoff, or else he's just not going to play it.
Yeah, and it's an important point you make, Tom. Let me just say this. I people give Lee grief, and he's a grown-up, and he can handle it. And when you give out games for a living, it's a little bit like having an opinion for a living. You're going to get pushback and blowback. It's going to happen, and people are going to get angry, even irrationally so. But market to market, Lee's on like 40 shows across the country. Like his day begins at 7 a.m. on Fridays, and he's on in like markets all over the country. And so he tries to cater the free picks, the five or so free picks that he gives out every week to the market. Like he's not like there's a reason Florida, Clemson, Florida State, Georgia, or Atlanta. You know, that's why they're on this sheet. He's not picking these games in Seattle. You know, he's going to take Washington, Washington State, Oregon, and, you know, he's going to look at their team. So if he's terrible on a weekend, on a Friday where he's giving you five free games that he's got an opinion on, understand that that is not necessarily his card. In fact, I know it's not his card. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. By the way, he did text me, and I'm going to see if I'm excited or scared. Let's see. Okay. I kind of see where he's going with this one. I'll tell you about it off air. Ooh, people are going to be mad.
Well, what's interesting is sometimes he'll put his 45-unit play in the free picks, and it's like, oh, look at that. I'm telling you it's his 45-unit play, but sometimes it does. Yeah.
Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
The Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Did you see the other night, Tom, short segment here, so I get a chance to bring this up. Well, what the hell? Let's bring it up anyhow. It's loosey-goosey. Did you see Texas's fans storm the court when they beat Gonzaga?
No. They did?
Buddy, it was humiliating. The whole time I'm watching that, I'm going, what are we doing? What in the hell is going on here? Texas is ranked, if I'm not mistaken, 11th in the country. Mm. And they stormed the court because they won an early season game over Gonzaga. Not Duke, not, you know, one of these elite teams, but Gonzaga? Come on, man. It was terrible. You would have thought, I mean, the full on court storming, jumping up and down. And the last time that I had this conversation, a lot of people in the chat were like, you're an old man. It's fun. Let the kids storm the court. Man, Texas has been good. What are we doing? You can't just willy-nilly storm the court. It's beneath you. Now, Texas is not elite, but they are ranked in the top 15 in the country. Why are you storming the court? And it's Gonzaga. Why are we holding Gonzaga up here? Gonzaga ain't out here winning national championships. No, no. Instead, the conversation is constantly about how they can't. Why are we doing that? What's going on? I had a reason to be old man, get off my lawn in that moment. I almost texted you. I don't know why I blamed, like I kind of somehow equate Jamie having spent a brief period of time at that university with you're my Texas connection. Like it doesn't make any sense, but I almost was like, guys, are you witnessing this shamockery of these fans? What are they doing in Texas?
The Travis shamockery. Yeah, you know, they're team two for football in this house, and that's fine because it's also nice to have a squad that has nothing to do with nothing when it comes to your footprint.
Yeah, sure. Now,
maybe in the next 5 years, they'll be in the same conference with Florida State. Maybe that's where we're going, but not at present. So it's nice to have something removed there. But I could promise you, even with however enthusiastic she could be about the Longhorns and, you know, doing postdoc work there, we ain't flipping on Texas basketball. You know, we're not finding our way to the Longhorn Network for Texas baseball. Like, that ain't happening in this house. It's just, you know, it's, hey, the football team's on. Oh, look at that. It's Red River. Oh, look, it's Alabama. All right. TV One. Let's affix it there. That's cool. But we also have had that problem. We won't. Actually, you know what? This year, if we do beat somebody who's ranked here in Tallahassee.
Yeah, run out there.
You go ahead, kids. You go ahead. You storm the hell out of that court. But for a couple more years than were necessary, you know, when we beat the likes of a Duke or a Florida, we're running out there on the court. It's, no, man. This program has gotten to a place that you shouldn't be doing that most years. But I will, you know, maybe tonight. Maybe tonight's the night that you could storm the court. I'm not so sure. But this ain't going to be that kind of a year where we need to be snooty about it here locally. I understand why you're picking on a top 15 team for not being that stupid as to elevate somebody else's stature. If you're top this early in the season, then you have national title aspirations.
I just looked it up. I knew I wasn't crazy. So it's not just that they did that, Tom. Texas is 3-0. They're ranked number 11 in the country. Gonzaga is ranked number 2 in the country. Texas won 93-74. It was never competitive. Texas led by 10 at halftime. At one point was up 15 in the first half. They outscored Gonzaga in the second half, 46-37. The Gonzaga didn't close it to one and you held on for dear life and your emotions got the best of you and you got to charge the court. None of it. They were dominating the game for hours. There was no reason to do that. You had enough time to reflect and say, you know, listen, Paul, I was thinking earlier when you talked about storming the court, we really shouldn't do that. I mean, we are Texas. We are ranked number 11 in the country in Gonzaga. I mean, come on now.
You know, we did that, though. I think it was 12. Was it?
I got mad, I think, if I remember correctly. I've been that guy.
Yeah, the Davidus Dolkies game. I think we.
Against North Carolina?
Yeah, North Carolina game day. They promised they'd never come back for game day again because the atmosphere was terrible that early in the morning. Sadly, they could have done that the last three or four non-COVID seasons, and it would have been an excellent atmosphere for college game day. But that game was decided by, if it tipped off at noon, we knew that we were going to win by about 12:45. But yeah, we have not been perfect in that regard either, but it's not like Texas is the new kid on the block. They have been pretty good for a few years now. Yeah.
I just want us as fans, and I get, again, I'm very conscious of the fact that I'm 51. And so I like that you're the buffer, that you help me with your age. Now you're almost entering your 40s. You're an old soul, but you're also more towards the, you know, obviously you're quite a bit younger than me. And then we have Director Matthew, who's quite a bit younger than you. So yep. We have mechanisms in place to protect one another. If something seems really immature and lacks perspective, I'd like to think that Big Brother Jeff can walk in and go, guys, let's look at this big picture. Not that you're not capable, but sometimes you just need an old head to walk in and be like, I think we need to do this. I want to know when I'm the guy who's too cantankerous, who's too get off my lawn, then I want you and Matthew to say, Jeff, come on, man, you got to let that go. That's a bygone era, Pops. Let it go. And then we need to be able to say to Matthew, when these idiot kids are all running amok, that this is silly. Get a hold of your people. you 20-somethings don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, like I'd say in this case, it's not advisable. I don't know that it's a textable offense, you know, because some things rise to the level of I need to text somebody about this. Look at this. This is egregious. Like Kirk Herbstreit would have texted the world about Florida State not shaking hands with Oregon on the Rose Bowl field. How many people do you think he texted that night? Over under 15? Because, I mean, that was one of the most amazing moments of television, considering the disingenuousness involved with it. I digress. Yeah. I don't think it rises to anywhere close to that. It's just not advisable. Be better. That would That's be my response. It'd be better.
Get a hold of yourself. Not that big a deal. You want
get a hold of yourself is a little bit more than be better.
Yeah,
be better.
Get a hold of yourself.
Get a hold of yourself.
You want a regular season basketball game in freaking November.
Get a hold of yourself is more personal. Be better is more dismissive. Be better.
Get a hold of yourself is where I'm at with that one. Get a hold of yourself. Be better is implied in get a hold of yourself. And I think it's a double whammy. You got to lay down both of those. That's all. I wanted to get it off my chest. That's it. Short segment. Able to do it. I thought it was absurd.
One other thing though, Clemson always allowing people on the field. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's where I go. Like, every week. You're just going to, all right, come on. Remember,
if you're going to do it, then you have to do it every week, I guess. I wouldn't do it. I'd say grow up and, you know, respect yourself a little bit more, but they don't. They don't. It's very insular there.
And it's been notorious, too, that they have a terribly lax policy on sideline access, which, hey, you know, we go up there next year for a big football game.
Maybe you and I are strolling the 50, baby.
Yes, we are. But yeah, I mean, the only thing they say is don't hop over the ledge. That's all they say. That's the announcement. And a former sponsor of ours did just that with about 5 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah, I know. It was awesome. And I remember thinking, oh, they're going to kick you out. That's not good.
It was also surprisingly athletic. I was like, whoa, that's pretty good.
Couldn't happen today. I promise you that. Hour number two forthcoming. Stay with Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.